I don't do anything for recognition or to build a reputation. But I do have a great love and respect for this book. And every time it's opened, I think it's proper for us as the people of God to rise and show our respect and reverence for His Word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Let that soak in for a minute. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. With the help of the Spirit of God this morning, we want to consider as our subject living victoriously in this world. Living victoriously in this world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask His blessing. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee this morning, recognizing Thee, Almighty God, as the Sovereign of heaven and of earth. Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, who dwelleth in the heavens and doeth whatsoever Thou dost please. And, O Father, I pray this morning that it may please Thee to open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes. And as a result of the preaching of Thy Word, Heavenly Father, help us to open our mouths and to be a vocal testimony of Thy saving grace. We thank Thee for this church, and for her pastor, and for the other churches that are represented here this morning, for many dear friends in Christ, and for co-laborers in the furtherance of the gospel. Father, help us in these last days to stay faithful to our calling and to Thy Word. If there be any here this morning that might be lost, I pray that it might please Thee to quicken them by Thy Spirit and draw them by Thy saving grace. Grant unto them repentance and faith and help them to cry out to Thee for mercy. Bless Brother Long's son as he's away. And Father, I pray that Thou wouldst favor the adoption of these two additional children. Help us in all that we do and say to please and honor Thee. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Beloved, throughout time, God's people have been called upon to suffer. Brother Works this morning talked about a cheap salvation. And I agree, if it was left unto men, there are many of us in this room this morning that are aptly able, I believe, to build a congregation. But if the Lord doesn't build the house, we labor in vain that build it. Amen. This is God's work. And yet I know that as we look through the Scriptures, God's people are appointed to suffer for His name's sake. Amen. So often I hear today on the radio and very seldom on TV. I don't watch too much of it, but I hear folks that do watch channels with Swaggart and some of these other men. I'll just leave it at that. But they offer a cheap salvation. They offer prosperity, a prosperity gospel that if you'll just give your heart and life to God and send $5 or $10 or whatever it may be, you'll invoke upon yourself a blessing of God. This idea that you can pray for whatever you want and God will give it to you. Well, the Bible says if you ask what you will in accordance with My name, in accordance with the will of God. But what's purported today is this idea that the Christian life is a pie-in-the-sky walk. And I don't know how it is for you, but I can tell you how it is for me. It's a fight. It's a struggle. It's a daily combat of the flesh and warring with the flesh and striving to please and honor God. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. The Bible says that we're to be sober. Be vigilant. That sober is an idea of the thinking of the mind. Vigilant is to be watchful. It's how we use our eyes. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, my friend, listen. The life of a child of God is a life of trials and a life of difficulties and a life of testings. Let no man say when he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. That's in the evil context. God does tempt men. Abraham was tempted of God. That's a testing, beloved, of the faith. But God never tempts to do evil. God always tempts to try us and to test us so far as our faith is concerned. So the life of a child of God is a life that is subject to trials and difficulties. We have been appointed not only to salvation, the Bible says, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Now that part of the verse we'd rather pass over. We like the salvation part. But you and I that have been saved by the grace of God this morning have been saved and appointed to suffer for His name's sake. Is the servant above his master? Ought we to think that our Redeemer would come to this earth and suffer and die for us so that we could go out and just live however we want? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul asked. And in the strongest vernacular, he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Amen. These things, beloved, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort in the Scriptures, might have hope. We want to go back and look at a record of a young man who lived victoriously in this life. Beautiful record of a man that was alive upon this earth. He was a man just like you and I, same flesh and blood, same trials, same temptations, same testings. Yet he lived victoriously. How was he able to do that? Beloved, contrary to what the humanists claim, we are not improving as a society. Evil men, the Bible says, and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I see so much of that today. Amen. So much deceit. You go to buy a new car today, and you have to be very, very careful. Because there's so much in the fine print below that'll grab you hook, line, and sinker. Sad. But it's the world in which we live. My friend, when it comes to spiritual things, let God be true and every man a liar, for His words are pure as gold, tried in a furnace of fire 7 times. Well then, possessing the ability to see the end from the beginning, what does God say concerning those that we are around? And beloved, as Brother Tim said this morning from the Word of God, we live in an age where men and women are going to desire to reap unto themselves or heap unto themselves teachers, the Bible says, having itching ears. They won't stand for the truth. I know that if we're faithful to declare the whole counsel of God, it will bring the sheep closer into the sheepfold. And it will drive the wolves away, the goats away. I know not of a single event, and all we can base our view on is that which is written in the Word of God. Amen. I know not of a single event in which this particular young man displayed an unholy disposition towards others. I'm not claiming this morning, beloved, that he was sinless. The Scripture does not reveal for us a single event pointing towards a breakdown in this particular man's testimony before ungodly men and women. And thus, he provides us an example of living victoriously that you and I would do well to emulate this morning. I believe this young man, whose name is Joseph, developed a deep sincere and trusting relationship with God and with great purpose and resolve made sure that absolutely nothing would sever that relationship. Satan desires, beloved, for our testimony to be marred. Satan desires for us to give our heart's desire over to worldly things. Satan desires for us to give a little here and give a little there to compromise. Not great steps, just a little bit. We have a gentleman that has come forward to make known his desire to unite with the Sunnyview Baptist Church. I have been praying that God would add an active duty family to our work. Fort Campbell is a military installation that's about 8 miles from the church building. 20 years of my life I gave in service to our country for her defense of freedom. I'd love to see the Lord add an active duty family to the church body and use me to be a spiritual help to that family. And we've been praying to that end. About 5 weeks ago, a young man who's a pilot in the Army came forward and said, "Pastor, I desire to unite with this church. What would I have to do?" I said, "Do you know of a surety that you've been saved by the grace of God?" He said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Are you willing to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, in scriptural baptism?" He said, "I am." I said, "Then what I'd like to do, I'd like to spend some time talking to you about our church covenant. I want to go over our articles of faith. I want you to understand our bylaws and what we expect of you and what you can expect from us. Because this is the place where God gets His glory." He agreed. This young man and I spent some time together, and I went over what we believe and what we hold to be true. And I said, "You take this material. You read it. You pray about it. And in about a week, if that's sufficient time for you, you let me know if there's anything that you have question on, anything that you feel you might not be able to abide by. Because with God's help, I'm handling that at the start, not later on, after membership has been entertained." And so I spent some time talking to him. We talked on the telephone. I said, "Well, how do you feel about what this church believes and stands for?" He said, "I don't have an issue with any of it. Except," he said, "in the church covenant," said, "Pastor Trescott, I noticed that it says we will abstain from the sale and use of alcoholic substances as a beverage." And he said, "On the weekends, on Friday, perhaps on Saturday, I get together with my family or sometimes friends, and they come over and I might have a beer or two. That's all I have. I cook meat and I savor my meat with bourbon. I think that's a wine. I'm not sure." But he said, "I just want to make sure that that wouldn't be a problem if I joined the church." I said, "Sir, I'll tell you this. If you do that after you join the church, it will be a problem. You have covenanted with us that you won't do that." As a result, we've had a couple in the church, I believe they're sincere, who have raised the question about that particular statement being placed in the covenant and how it got in there and when it was placed there and if it's really necessary. And my thought is this, beloved. If we want to honor God and we want to please God and we want to present a testimony before the world that we've been saved by the grace of God and we're different from the world, I don't have a problem with it staying there. But Satan, I believe, would strive to get us to just give a little here. Let's take that out and change it so that there can be 2 beers or 3 beers or 5 beers consumed. Before long, we're dealing with drunkenness, disorderly conduct, rape, and all the other things that are associated with alcoholic consumption. I don't believe Joseph ever compromised. I believe Joseph stayed true to his calling because of a deep reverence and a deep love and a deep respect for God. Beloved, what you do, don't do for mom and dad. What you do in life, don't do for your pastor. What you do in life, don't do for the church. But what we do in life, may God help us to always do for Him, that we may please Him who hath called us. I want you to turn back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. How can we live victoriously in this life? Three thoughts I want to bring to you this morning. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 15. First of all, Joseph did not allow abandonment to break him. Joseph did not allow abandonment to break him. Verse number 15, Genesis chapter 37. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before they came near unto him, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread. Beloved, can you imagine? Can you imagine the feelings of this young boy who has come to be a blessing to his brothers? And they strip him of his garment and they hate him because of his relationship with his father. What a picture of Christ. They hate him because of his relationship with his father. And they take him and they throw him in a pit where there is no water. And they go and they have a party. They go and they satisfy themselves with bread, and they have no regard at all for their brother. He's abandoned in a pit. But he didn't allow that to break him. They sat down, verse 25, to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites." Oh, the love of money. "And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. His journey ends in a foreign country surrounded by the enemies of God and his people, the Egyptians. It just doesn't seem right that a young lad who loved his dad and his God should be so disdained by his own brethren. Oh, dear friend, the eyes of faith see events very differently. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." But it doesn't stop there. "To them who are the called according to His purpose." And God's purpose for your life may be different than your own plan and purpose for your own life. And oftentimes it is. I told Brother Works He spent the last 3 days with us in a meeting, preaching the Word of God, and to the Sunnyview Baptist Church. I told Brother Works and his dear wife was able to give them my testimony on how the Lord was pleased to save me. And beloved, I stand before you this morning and say it was the furthest desire of my heart when I was growing up to ever be involved at all in the ministry. My dad has pastored the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church since 1978, and he's still there today by the grace of God. And I have seen the hurt, and I've seen the pain, and I've seen the joys. But beloved, it was enough for me to just say, you know what, if I can choose to do something else with my life, I'll do anything but be involved in the ministry. And so I spent time in the military service. It was at the latter end of that God was pleased to save me. My love was taken for the Army. I was a soldier. But God took that love. He took that desire for me to continue to serve, and it was time for me to get out. And I felt the Lord was beginning to work on me regarding the ministry. And I thought, no, that can't be. And so a job came up with the post office, making good money, $22 an hour. I went down and took the test, qualified for 2 years and 10 months. I worked at the post office, but the call of God was always on me. I always felt I didn't belong there. But great is the faithfulness of God. He still blessed me despite me running. I began to entertain the thought of being used by God and went and preached to a number of churches in view of a call. Five extended the call and I responded with five no thank yous. I just didn't feel God was in it. And Garner Smith, our pastor, who's home with the Lord, sent me an email and I opened it up and it was the death of Brother L.G. Richardson, who had pastored at Sunnyview for 29 and a half years. And I can't explain it. But it was as if God told me, your window for running has just closed. I'm going to use you there. And thank God, God has blessed us for 5.5 years with some of the most wonderful people. Oh, there's been heartaches. But the joys have far outweighed the heartaches. You see, my purpose in life was far different than God's purpose for me. But I'm not my own. And my friend, if you're here today, this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, you're not your own. You'd be better off giving up your ambitions and your own desires and seeking the will of God for your life. Amen. Oh, I wish I'd have started the day I retired. 2 years and 10 months of my life, I wasted. But in the end, God was pleased to place me and equip me to do what He had called me to do in the place He wanted me to do it. Without his parents and family, his coat of many colors taken from him and marred, thirsty in a dry land before he is sold cheaply to passerbys who make merchandise of him, and yet abandonment didn't break him. You know why? You know why abandonment did not break this young man, Joseph? Because he was never totally abandoned. Look, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Oh, beloved, if you want to be victorious in life, realize we're not in this alone. I know that in time we may find ourselves in prison. We might be in a cell by ourselves, but I promise you this, if you're a child of God, you're never alone. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there shall ye serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forgive the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto thee. He's not far off from any one of us this morning. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. My friend, we need to cultivate such a deep and close relationship with our Savior that if others should abandon us for serving God, we will still live victoriously and not cavil. The closer we approach the return of Christ, the more frequent I believe we will see the chaff depart from the wheat. So then Satan will strive to cause us to fall by trying to convince us that we are in this work alone. Yet, my friend, God is with us as He was with Joseph, and under that circumstance, we will always be victorious. Amen. You think in the Scriptures. There was a man by the name of Elisha. Elisha was alone. It's not that God wasn't with him. But Elisha was alone, depending upon God for his sustenance. Daniel was alone. Daniel was in a den with lions and the Lord was there. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sadly by the Lord's people, were cast into the fiery furnace. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar walked and peered into the furnace, I think because the door was left open, because the gentlemen that threw them in were slain. And the question was asked, did not we throw three into the fire? And lo, I see four. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God.
Amen.
Yes, dear friends, they weren't alone. Rahab. The spies came to Rahab and gave her a directive. And they turned and they left. After they were hidden up on the roof and finally escaped, Rahab is there all alone. No. No, she's not. God was with her. And as a result of her obedience and her trust, she was spared. He did not allow abandonment to break him. Number two, Joseph did not allow allurement to take him. Genesis chapter 39. And look, if you will, at verse number 7. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things, and these things are referring to the fact that Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of his house. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Joseph did not allow allurement to take him away from his walk with the Lord because he wanted and desired to live victoriously in life. Can I say something this morning? Guard your eyes. David said, I'll set no evil thing before mine eyes. Oh, guard your eyes. It just takes a glimpse of something seen to impact the heart and the life for many, many years. I took classes in criminal justice. I thought when I was younger I'd really enjoy being a prosecuting attorney. And in those classes, beloved, we learned how much the vision mars the lives of many young children who have seen mother beaten by dad, who have seen abuse in the homes, sometimes grown adults who have seen death perhaps at an intersection or in their own home when someone is found deceased. Soldiers who are over in the war sometimes just get a glimpse of the atrocities of war and they're marred for many, many years. Satan puts things before our eyes. And if he can just catch our attention for just a small period of time, oh, how it affects the heart and the life. That's why companies, beloved, pay millions of dollars for 15-second clips of the Super Bowl. Just if they can catch our attention with our eyes. Oh, guard your eyes. Joseph didn't allow the allurements of life to take him away within his walk with the Lord. Many times, Satan uses women to bring down godly men by offering them temporary pleasures, but it's only for a moment. I don't know, beloved, how many men I have heard of that have been disqualified from the ministry because they have counseled one-on-one with a broken-hearted lady who they felt sorry for, and a hug turned into a caress, and on and on and on until they have disqualified themselves from the ministry. Right. Men going off with ladies in the congregation. Men witnessing or men being involved with women in work. I know the problem that men have. Oh, by the way, my name is S-H-A-U-N. Not W-N, but it's all right, brother. That's the feminine spelling of Sean. I don't want anybody to think that your pastor had a female preaching. I know the problems we face, brother. And we have to discipline ourselves to guard our eyes. I'm putting together a message entitled, Let's Be Involved in a Cover-Up. Clothing the body. Godly women need to cover their body. Amen. And oh, by the way, men, we need to cover our bodies too.
Right. Amen.
I get a little bit riled when I hear men get so defensive about ladies wearing short shirts and short blouses, and then they go out and cut off shorts and cut off t-shirts, showing their abs, and as if it doesn't apply to them, but it applies to all the women that say they're God's women. I think we all need to be involved in covering the body.
Amen.
The eyes. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Satan seeks to draw us away in these regards. No one else was visible in that room, I believe, besides the master's wife and Joseph. But God was there. God sees all and He knows all. Psalm chapter 69. I have so many more references and so much to say, but we want to draw this to a close. Psalm chapter 69. Look, if you will, at verse number 5. David prays while he's in affliction and says, O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. I think of the 139th Psalm. And the psalmist asks the question, Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly into the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. There's no hiding from God. God sees all. God knows all. So often I'm afraid when we're about to do something that we know is wrong, we'll look to our left and our right and check all about us, make sure nobody's looking. But you know where we fail to look? Up. His eyes are over the righteous. If you're here and you're saved this morning, listen, God sees everything to which we have to do. And that doesn't mean He's not seeing the lost, because He knows what you do too.
Amen.
Joseph did not allow allurement to take him. Lastly, Joseph did not allow advancement to shake him. Don't ever feel like you're a big shot in the work of the Lord. You can be too big for God to use you. But you can never be too small. You can never be too humble. There was a time in my life when I thought I knew an awful lot. But you know, the more I study, and the more I meditate upon the Word of God, I find out just how ignorant I am. And the verse of Scripture that says, "Study to be quiet," has become so much more plain to me in the past few years. Because I think the more we study, the less we'll be inclined to talk. Joseph did not allow advancement to shake him. Genesis chapter 41. Verse number 14, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." Fast forward, verse number 37. "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants." Joseph reveals to Pharaoh his dream. It's pleasing to him. "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?' And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou.' And Joseph said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, 'Bow the knee,' and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." But it never went to his head. Listen, this young man now is in a position to order revenge on the master's wife. Joseph's now in a position to get revenge to all those that listened to her lie, resulting in him being cast in prison. Joseph's now in a position, if he desired to get back at the chief butler, whose forgetfulness resulted in Joseph spending 2 more years in prison. And now he's finally able to get back at his brethren, who sold him into slavery, wanted nothing to do with him, and now they're dependent on him. But he wasn't going to allow the advancement that God had purposed and planned to shake his testimony. Beloved, we need to be careful. It's God who promotes and demotes. Listen, I don't know what position you have, but you ought to thank God that He's even counted you worthy and graced you with the ability to do whatever you do in service to Him. But let us never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But let us think soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. What an opportunity for payback. But God was foremost in Joseph's thought and conduct, and as a result, he was unmovable in his resolve to please God. "Render unto no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." I like this next verse. "As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." As much as lieth in you. "Vengeance is mine," God says. "I will repay, saith the Lord." Many today are not victorious because one of these three areas has been used by Satan to tempt them into giving in and giving up their dependence, their determination, and their diligence to serve God. Beloved, we're in a battle. We're in a war. I think sometimes the people of God get the idea that, you know, we've got this thing licked. The victory is ours. You know, Paul said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin." And the let me go back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was going to recite it. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let us remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Joseph knew God would reward him, not only in this life, but in the life to come. You want to be victorious in life, beloved? Then dwell upon those three things. Ask God to help you in these particular matters. Don't allow abandonment to ruin your testimony. Don't allow allurements to carry you away. And don't allow advancements in life to thwart your use and service for God. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, the people of God plainly declared that they were strangers and pilgrims. They were abandoned by the world. Far too long we've tried to fit in with the world.
That's right.
And as Brother Tim said, it's had an effect. I forget where I was. Oh, I know. My children talked me into buying a miniature donkey that has to be delivered on Monday. And I'm sure the fun will prevail for about a week until they realize what it is to take care of a donkey. We went in Mr. Bellamy's barn to look at this little miniature donkey, and we weren't in there very long. I came back out and I got in the car, and my wife reminded me that I stunk like a donkey. I was only by that donkey for just a short period of time. And my friend, we only have to be around the world just a short period of time before it will have an effect on us. Oh, I pray that God would help us to live victoriously in this present world. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Sean. Sorry about that mistake there. I made a correction. Be sure you make a correction when you take that.
Thank you, brother.
Are you unhooked?